Hello, welcome to Leading at a Local Level, which is an MLG podcast. It's great to have you with us. Today we're going to be talking about diversity because we are in our series on leading diversity. So it's great that you're able to tune in and listen. It's great to have John with me as always. How are you doing, John?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Tim. You well?
Yeah, I'm good. We have to use the nice English answer. We're fine. I'm fine. I'm good.
Everything's fine.
Good. And so we're in this series on leading diversity, which is really exciting. And so we're looking at all types of diversity in our churches. And again, this podcast is all about leading at a local level, thinking about some of the big issues and trying to work out how they apply in a local context. How can I, whether I'm leading a local church or I'm leading a charity or I'm leading a business or I'm just leading inside any kind of context, really, how can I take some of these big issues and outwork them in my local context? And so we're going to be talking about ethnicity today, aren't we, John?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to this. We're going to be covering a range of things under that banner, really, and thinking about what does it look like to be a church that welcomes those from ethnic minority, diverse backgrounds. Does it even matter that churches are ethnically diverse? And what can we learn from those who have stories and backgrounds that are perhaps different from mine? And why can it be so hard sometimes? Why is there this debate? Why is it a challenge to have diverse churches, including ethnically diverse churches? So, really great today that we're going to be joined by Dr. Rachel Owusu-Ankoma, who is actually a colleague of mine working at the Christian Medical Fellowship, where Rachel is head of student ministries. Rachel's a medical doctor and speaks and writes widely on the issues of ethnicity in the church, among other things. So I think we're going to welcome Rachel into the conversation. Rachel, welcome. Great. Hi. To see you. How are you today?
I'm all right. Not too bad, thank you. Not too bad at all.
Fantastic. Now, I know you quite well, so I know there's a few things that you enjoy doing outside of medicine and this arena. So go on, give us an example of one or two things that you are passionate about in life.
Okay, so I think the biggest thing is that I'm passionate about people. I really like people. I like talking to people, hearing their stories. And that probably links to my second thing that I'm passionate about, which is food. So I love cooking. I like eating, going out for dinner. I probably am a bit of a feeder. I just love, you know, when there's a church thing or people come into my house, you know, just to feed people and make sure people have takeaway and stuff like that. And then probably the third thing, which is a bit more random, is I'm a really big MCU fan. So Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I really love the MCU, and all things Marvel.
Absolutely.
I feel like I need to get to know Rachel better because we share obviously, you know, very similar interests, really. I want to taste his food, you know. So
Well, it's great. I mean, Rachel, I get to work for you part time, don't we? We work together, which is great fun. Tell us a bit about yourself and what you get up to during the week, and then why this topic is something that you're passionate about.
Yeah, so I grew up in Kent and I still live in Kent. I'm the daughter of two Ghanaians who emigrated to the UK in the 70s and have lived here ever since. I am a doctor, so I went to university in London. Did a degree before I did medicine as well. Worked as a doctor for a few years, specialised in surgery. And then, God kind of called me to work at CMF, the Christian Medical Fellowship. So I've been doing that for 5 years, and I do that for part of my week. The rest of my week, I do like medical work. So I'm currently working for an NGO that works in like detainee healthcare, which is, very different, but I really enjoy it. So, that's a little bit about me. This topic, this is something I've been thinking about for a very long time, maybe like 6 years. Started off just picking up kind of blogs and podcasts, mainly from America. And as they were kind of talking about race and ethnicity and the church. And then I guess in the wake of George Floyd, there's just been this, I guess, collective, well, in the West anyway, sort of everybody's talking about it, collective kind of aha moment. And so since then, I've just had the opportunity to talk more intentionally into various Christian spaces. So whether that's churches, church organizations, church groups. So I'm passionate about this topic because I think it's important. Obviously, as a Black woman, I have experiences of what it means to be a Black woman in this country and in the church. And I'm keen to share those experiences with others and create a church that is diverse and represents what we see in the Bible. So,
Yeah, thanks, Rachel. Look, just personally, I've really appreciated a friendship with you over the last few years. And I've learned so much just from, just a little random chats that we have about things. So I'm just really excited just to have you here today. I wonder if it'd be helpful if you're able to share just a bit personally. As you said, you're not representing every Black person in the world, but personally, what's this look like for you in the church, in the UK? What some of your experiences been?
Yeah, I guess providing some more context. So yeah, I grew up in Kent, and where I live is a very white area. Well, at least when I was a lot younger as well. So I've always been in white majority spaces and white majority churches up until relatively recently. And my experiences have been, very mixed. Lots of good things and some not so good things. And it's just, I think, at least in recent years, trying to unpick those experiences, understand maybe why they happened, what I felt about them at the time and what I feel about them now. Mm. And then just trying to find a way forward and thinking, okay, is this just the way things are? And is this just the way things have to be? Or is there a better way of doing things or a better experience that people can have? So my church growing up was really wonderful. We were kind of like the only Black family, but my parents were just, and me and my brother were just made to feel very, very welcome. On the whole, we were part of that church. We were liked, we were integrated. And so that's a really happy and positive experience. There may have been small, little things, but I think also when you're younger, you don't always understand the nuance of certain situations. Overall, a really positive and happy memories. Coming to university again, I ended up in a kind of a white majority church. I really enjoyed being there. I grew so much in my faith, learned a deeper relationship with God. It was really a kind of a seminal time for me. I was, one of very few people from kind of non-white background. But I think because I had grown up in white majority spaces, maybe I found it easier to navigate that space. Mm-hmm. But there were a few things that happened that were not great. One instance was I came to church, and this was when I had decided I'm really going to get stuck in. I want to do involved in the kids work and serving and this and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was feeling really good. I was like, yes, this is my church. I'm going to get stuck in. Yep. And there was another church that met on the same site. That church was a Black majority church. And so I turned up to kind of get my service leaflet. And I sort of stood in front of the people and they were like, oh, you're coming to our church. They were really shocked. And it's oh, here you go. And it was sort of a bit of a fumble and a faff. And I was just really upset by that. Really, 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 really upset. And I remember crying all the way home and speaking to one of the pastors to say, look, if the color of my skin, if you don't want me here, or if I'm not meant to be here, then that's fine. I can find another church. So that was a really hard experience, but it was great to be affirmed that no, we do want you at our church and we do appreciate you being here. And what happened wasn't great and we need to kind of sort that out, and people have apologized and stuff like that. So hard experience. It was good to be affirmed. And I really enjoyed being there overall. So
Brilliant. Yeah, that's great. And I think it's really interesting to remember that. So something I've learned working in CMF with a very diverse group of students is I remember one medical student saying to me, she's a Black female, saying how she wasn't applying to a certain area of the country. And she just said, look, the reality is that because it would just be harder for me. I just know that I walk into a church and I've been there before and everyone's white. And that's okay. And I'm sure I'll be welcomed. But it would just feel very challenging for me. And she was just very honest about that. And I thought, oh goodness, that wouldn't even cross my mind. I'd quite like to go to that area for its beaches, for example. Mm. But it didn't really even cross my mind. And just being aware of that in that conversation was just really helpful. So I think, just having this conversation, and Rachel, thanks for sharing that, it's so helpful to, just to think that. I mean, we've used a few, we're using the term ethnicity, just and before Tim and I were planning this, where we say, you know, ethnicity, people of color, black, race, we've got all these different words around, and I think sometimes people can be a bit nervous. You feel that as well, Tim? Like, we're a bit nervous about what words do we use, and are we going to get in trouble for using that word? And, oh, hold on, I thought we used that word 5 years ago, but do we? So, Rachel, how do we think about what terms to use in this discussion, and how should we approach it?
Yeah, language is very challenging, and I feel more so. The issue with words is that often you can say a word and it can mean different things to different people. That's the first thing. And then the other part is that different words may come with different baggage and also invoke different emotional responses in people. And you may not always know what that is until the word leaves your mouth. And I know from my perspective, I probably change the words that I use. So I use ethnicity a lot because I prefer it as a word to race, for example. Mm. And so, yeah, I guess it's really challenging, and we're probably going to offend somebody with the words that we choose to use. But I think it's just being open and gracious to whoever you're talking to. And if somebody says, I actually don't like you to use that word, then just don't use that word. That's fine. I think it's always important to know as well what, when we say a particular word, what we're intending to mean. So, so for example, I generally try not to use like BAME or BAME, unless I'm referring to particular, maybe like there's a piece of research or, you know, something it's very specific and that term has been used in a particular context. And the reason that I don't do that is, or I try and avoid that word, is because I don't want to flatten ethnicity and culture. You know, for example, in the UK, the Black experience is very, very different from like the African experience, very different from the Caribbean experience, very different from the Asian experience. And even within that, there's obviously massive nuance. So, for example, I've got a friend from Togo, and Togo is next door to Ghana. We're both kind of second generation, you know, our parents came over here. And there's lots of similarities between our cultures, but there's also huge differences. And I think some words can flatten that. So that's, for example, that's why I generally try and avoid the word BAME or BAME, because I want to celebrate different cultures and acknowledge different cultures.
Great. Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, within this conversation, obviously, there is a question. Tim, maybe just ask you, you know, some people would, I have heard some people say, church leaders say, you know, well, we don't need to talk about this because, you know, many of our congregations are in areas where it's just everyone's white, you know, pretty much. So why are we even having this conversation? Or even if it was, well, you know, if people come, they come to our church. I mean, Tim, you know, thinking of MLG as a network and you as a church leader, how do you think through, you know, is this worth fighting for, that question?
Yeah, I think absolutely it is. I think, you know, I'm sure we could spend a lot of time if we wanted to, looking at the biblical perspective. And I think there is a strong biblical argument for churches that are diverse. And that's why we're doing this series, isn't it? Because we want to encourage diverse churches. I mean, you know, I'm English. I've lived inside the M25 my whole life. So in many ways, I'm quite boring, to be honest. And the thing I realised is that as our church has grown and increased, you know, just had so many different cultures joining it, you know, from all over the world, you know, South Americans, Europeans, Africans, you know, it just makes everything more interesting. You know, like there's so much more that we can know, I think, of God, particularly when we realize how much broader God is than just, you know, than the experience that we have in our own culture. And I just think it's the heart of the Lord, really, to increase the richness, I guess, of the expression of Christ. And I think that we, you know, I'd encourage any leader, really, is like, you know, you'll find more of God and more of his character and his nature and his expression through having more diversity. And to me, that's something that is just, it just makes, I don't know, it's made my life richer. And I'd say the more diversity, I think, I know there's loads of challenges with diversity, but actually I think the rewards are so worth it because, you know, it's just, yeah, it blesses me, to be honest. And so I'm very for it. And I think I'd really encourage leaders really to be active, because I suppose there's two attitudes, isn't there? You can be intentional in seeking to grow in diversity, and you can just be positive about the idea. And I think that, you know, I would hope that everybody listening to this podcast is positive about the idea of diversity. But there's a difference, isn't there, to being thoughtfully intentional. You know, this is hopefully what this conversation will lead to, is how do we become more thoughtfully intentional about actually making our churches, our organizations, our charities, you know, places where diversity thrives. Like it thrives, it brings out the best of diversity.
Yeah, great. No, that's great. I mean, Rachel, what's been your experience coming, you know, speaking with church leaders, speaking with people in positions of leadership, who have said to you, yeah, very much that, you know, I'm very positive about it. What are some conversations that you've had, and what was your perspective on that?
Yeah, positive. I mean, positive is good. It's a good start. But as Tim said, being intentional is really important. And just on so many different levels. If we think about, you know, what the church should look like having a church that doesn't look like the community that it's in, I think is just such a shame. And there may be reasons, there may be very intentional and good reasons why that is. For example, perhaps this is a church that is seeking to reach a particular community group. I can see, you know, there is so much value in that. But I think if you're seeking to be, you know, we're a church and we're in this community, you should reflect that community. And I think when we don't, being positive is not enough. You have to be intentional about, okay, we don't look like the community that we're in. Why? Do we think that's a problem? If it is a problem, what are we going to do about it? And it's a hard conversation to have. And to be intentional is difficult, but it's important if we really believe what God says in the Bible about, you know, going to the ends of the earth and reaching all nations, and, you know, that around the throne of his grace, there will be people from every tribe, nation and tongue, then we need to do our part his work. So
But why? It's okay. Here's get to the nub of it, Rachel. Here's a challenge for me. Why are there so many churches where people are gathering around nationality? I've been in church in Luton for several years. Luton's a very diverse place, and yet we've got the Nigerian churches, the Ghanaian churches. You know, we've got the Jamaican churches, we've got the Romanian churches, etc., etc. Why, and I'll be really honest here, there are times when I'm thinking, hey, I'm really pro-diverse, I want to be a diverse church, and yet so many people are going to places where people are like them ethnically. What is it? Just could you help us to understand why that might be, for someone like me looking on and thinking, I'm struggling to understand that. Why aren't they coming to my church?
I think there's loads of reasons, lots and lots of different reasons. So there's some historical reasons which are not great. So we know that, for example, when the Windrush generation came over, they were excited to see, you know, their local pick your denomination church, and they went there and tried to be part of that community, and they weren't welcomed. So they went and set up their own churches, and so that's a reality, and we have to kind of face that part of our history, the history of the church in the UK, and acknowledge that and lament that
Can I just say, I think that is such an important point, actually, because I think often what a lot of church leaders would say is, well, that's not the history of my church.
I've felt that before. Yeah, I would never do that. You know, our church has never done that. But, yeah, Tim, so you're saying it's...
Yeah, well, it's like our church has only been around 15 years. So, it's not like we've... But you're right, you're dealing with the legacy, I guess, the mindset, the way that people, the cultural perception in people groups that, you know, that actually is still very current and relevant. And I think if you ignore that, and I think that's something that's been very helpful over the last couple of years, that for me personally, is helping me understand that narrative. I just didn't realize that narrative existed, honestly. Like, and maybe I'm ignorant, but I don't think I understood that's how a lot of people would have, you know, felt. But yeah, so sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's a really, really helpful thing to add. I think another reason is, I don't know, if you've ever moved house or had to move area, it's really difficult. Everything's new. You've got to find, you know, whatever, you have kids, they're in a new school, you've got to find out where your local supermarket is and when's the best time to go. That is like really difficult. I I generally don't like moving. I moved a lot at university and I'm very glad that I haven't moved for a few years. can you imagine what that's like if you are moving from another country into a new language group, a new culture? And so, you know, you've grown up in the church. Church is home, church is familiar. And so to be able to find a church where there are people that, one, get your culture that you're from, but also get the experience of like translocating your life to another place is safe and can help you as you navigate your new life. So I think that's another big reason that people need to acknowledge, like, it's actually really difficult to move to a new place. And so to be able to meet with people, brothers and sisters in Christ, who understand what that's like and understand the culture that you're from is safe. And so I think people do that as well. That's probably the two biggest reasons. The one of the challenges of any kind of church space, whether it's, I don't know, just say it's white majority, or even if it's multi-ethnic, is navigating what it means to be you in that space. You may be used to doing particular things in a church on a Sunday, and to be a multi-ethnic church means to, I think, often to compromise or to sometimes have to forego your own preferences. And that can be really, really hard, especially when those preferences are not acknowledged or dismissed as like other and different or bad.
And it's very much human nature, isn't it? You know, we are very often ethnocentric. We think our way. I've learned this the hard way, really, thinking my way is the best way. The assumptions that I might have about sermon length or style or worship style, you know, there are deeply rooted assumptions in what's maybe biblical or helpful or just the right way to do things. And when someone comes and challenges you, it's easy enough to say, oh, they do that in another church. But when it's within your own church, you then start to get challenged as to, maybe my way isn't the only way or the best way. And that's hard as a leader. That can be unsettling. It makes life hard, for sure.
I think multicultural church is actually very difficult to achieve. I think I think this is the problem, isn't it? This is often the things that are really worth something aren't necessarily very easy to achieve. And I think, you know, everyone loves the idea of culture. You know, we've got an International Sunday, actually, funny enough. So this will date this podcast. An International Sunday this Sunday, so we've got the flags of all the nations. We've got 20-something, maybe a bit more, different nationalities in our church. And all the food's brilliant. The food will be amazing. You know, Rachel, you're welcome to come bring some. Sounds like you're good at cooking. But the thing is that those are the easy bits. Do you know what I mean? That's the easy bit. The difficult bit is, as you say, recognising that actually for lots of people coming into church and having to not do church in a way that's kind of familiar to you is actually really difficult. And I think, you know, and actually then when you try and create something that is this fusion, the danger is you just end up basically making lots of people unhappy. And it's really, really tough. And I think it's worth it. But I think that's why we want to have this, part of this conversation, just all part of this process. How do we do this better? Because it's worth it. Not easy.
Yeah, and we all like to be with people who are like us. There's something that, I don't know, can feel a bit, you want to feel at home, and being with people who think like you, who sometimes even look like you, there's something in human nature that says, okay, that's where, you know, I want to be. But that's the challenge with this whole series we're looking at, with diversity, being a diverse church. It's not all smiles, and it's not all easy. It does mean challenge. It does mean hard work. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rachel, we're talking about a multi-ethnic church, but I wonder whether it would be helpful, I'm going to ask you for the definition here. What does a genuinely multi-ethnic church look like? Like, what are we actually headed for that seems to be a challenge to head there, if you see what I mean?
Yeah, great question. It's quite interesting because there are some like formal definitions. I can't remember the exact percent. I think it's like when is it over 30% of your church are from a different cultures so there are some formal definitions. I would probably go and say more than that. I think a multi-ethnic church is a church that recognizes, yeah, probably the ethnicity of all the different members of its church. And that may be from a very, very broad pool. It may be from a very, very narrow pool, and yeah, intentionally seeks to serve them well, allow, and when I say them as in like the church congregation as a whole, is served well, can flourish, and yeah, flourish in the culture that and ethnicity that God has given them. I think, yeah, that is, that would be my kind of definition, which is very, which is, I know it's really broad, but I think often if we, when we flatten culture, we can miss the beauty even within cultures. So even within, for example, white British culture, there's so many different cool things. Like whether it's a scone or a scone is actually a very important question. But you know, like or if somebody's from the north of England or the south of England and they're in your church, there's so many things within that. And I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the multi-ethnic church is not just about, I don't know, black or white. I think it's more about that, like having this really broad vision of God bringing people from all sorts of different backgrounds together, and they're united around Christ and flourishing in that.
Yeah. And a great point there to remember that it's not, as you say, it's not just skin colour. I mean, I remember some friends of ours who are white South Africans who, and it was very personal to them maybe, but they certainly felt very different being in our church, but people assume they were just the same, you know, like most people are white, you're white as well, but their Afrikaans background, the what they brought to church, the cultural environment they've grown up with, so different. And it only became apparent to me when I really got to know them, that actually there were some aspects of the way we did church that were really quite genuinely foreign to them. And I think their perspective on church and what they could bring, I just don't think had even been acknowledged or even talked about. It's just been assumed that they were just like everyone else. And so I found that profoundly challenging. But equally, it might be that I meet with somebody, somebody in my church who's, let's say they're black African, and they've grown up in London all their life. And in fact, they're more British in many, you know, in a sense than I am, maybe. Do you know what I mean? Is it fair, Rachel? I mean, we can make an assumption, but actually some people are thinking, well, actually I'm British. I was brought up here. I've got the accent, but also so navigating that can be a challenge as well, I think. In church.
Yeah. Subcultures always fun, to navigate. Yeah. I think, and this is it, isn't it? People are not a monolith. Black people, white people, brown people, people are not a monolith, and every single person, once you've, you know, spoken to one person, you've heard one story. And that's why it's really, individual relationships are really, really important. And I think probably key to so much of this, because people's experience will be very different. I know for me, so when I moved to a black majority church for the first time, it was in London, and everybody around me, well, most people around me had grown up in London. And it's like, I didn't grow up in London. I grew up in Kent. I'm very proud, but I'm from Kent. And so even though there was lots of similarities in our kind of like, quote unquote, the black Christian experience, there were also lots of differences. And it took me a time to realize that and to be like, I don't have to be like the other people because they kind of quote unquote look like me. I can actually be me. And yeah, do you know what? I like jollof rice, but I also like green teas. And that's, I'm just a product of my environment. So yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. I mean,
the real debate is not scone versus scone. Is it cream first, jam second?
Oh,
that's going to get more people talking on this.
I'm now so distracted. I'm going to find it really hard to keep talking because I've just got this vision in my head of a cream tea. Sad times. Tim, I mean, I'd love to just to hear a bit from you as we think about how, I mean, yeah, we talked about, you know, we want to get there. We've got that sense of what that might look like. I think we recognize that we want to look like the local community. And for some people listening, you're thinking, oh, I'm in a village here. It's a very, you know, monochrome sort of setting. So, but a lot of these principles can certainly apply to all of us. But what are some of the things that we can actually do? What does it look like to practically work towards, intentionally work towards that kind of congregation, that kind of local body. And Tim, what I mean, you mentioned International Sunday. What are some intentional things that you've done in your church? And of course, Rachel, I'd love to hear your perspective as well.
Yeah, I think I'd like to say that we're not doing anywhere near as well as I think I'd like us to be doing. I mean, we sat down about 4 or 5 years ago as a church, and the leadership in the church had a really frank conversation, which was basically like, we are all, to be honest, the vast majority of us, you talk about 30% being a number, like we was well below 30% of people who weren't white English middle class as well, like a class issue. And so we just began to pray about it. We set it as a little bit of a goal. I don't know, we had no idea, I think, how we were going to achieve that. But I think it was just almost like a prayer goal. Like, Lord, we really want to pray that you would make us more diverse. And you know, as I said, we've got this International Sunday, and it's, and you know, we've got 20 plus, I think, nationalities or maybe more, and, you know, and different cultures, subcultures, even within our British English culture. And so I think, if I'm honest though, one of the difficulties, I'm not quite sure we did, if I'm honest. I think we just prayed a lot about it and asked the Lord to really help us. And I think because that was in our mind, we've been intentional, I guess, of when people from different ethnicities have come, is trying to celebrate that. And I think the thing I've done as the pastor is, and I suppose I do this with all of the people in my church because we're still not big enough that I can't, but is to try and get to know, you talk about individuals, like, you know, get to know people and just, and try and learn. I mean, what I've done is I've just tried to sit and talk to people from different, you know, ethnic backgrounds, different cultures, sort of tell me about, and I've actually asked this question, you know, what do you find difficult about our church? What is it you find hard? What do you think we could do better? And then what I've done is I've actually, one of the other things I've done is I started watching services from black majority churches. Just like, because the great thing about everything being online is, whereas before you couldn't, now you can.
You can drop in.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting how different they are to what we do. And I don't know any of the songs at all in a lot of the ones I've looked at. But I think I've just tried to learn and draw from that. I don't know if that's really translated yet into kind of how we actually do church. I think we're still on that journey. But I think for me, I'm just trying to, I suppose, if I'm trying to learn, then there's a better chance that if I learn, I'll understand. And therefore, hopefully, that will make it easier for other people to kind of move into that space. But as I said, I'm really looking to hear from Rachel, because she's probably no far more than I do.
I think you said a lot of the things that would be on my list. So, I mean, I've made them into P's because it's all good to have alliteration. So prayer, 100% has to be the bedrock of all of this. And it's probably more powerful than we recognize sometimes in, you know, Lord, we want to reflect our community. Please bring people that reflect our community to our church. The people, once they're there, just getting to know people and asking those questions like, what can we do better? How's your experience? Is there anything that you know, that's not been good that's happened? Or, and that can be on so many different levels. Or, you know, how did you, we did this sermon series on this. How did you find that from your perspective as a person from this background or with this experience? I think the other thing is that, well, products or resources. So, one way to help people feel, I guess it's not just inclusion, it's like accessible, like things to feel accessible, is to look at other people and what they're doing and how they see things. So, for example, with preaching, we'll all come to the Bible with our own cultural lens. And so actually looking at what somebody else has written from their cultural lens, maybe outside of the normal books and commentaries that we'd use, you know, how many of us have got commentaries from, I don't know, African scholars or Southeast Asian scholars on our bookshelf? Let's look at what they're saying and the lens through which they see and read the text. And we can learn so much from that, and that can enrich our conversations, our preaching, our discipleship, our walk with God as well. And then the final thing is, which is probably the most difficult thing, is power. So it's not merely enough, I think, to have the pews looking a certain way, but the leadership has to look a certain way, and we have to be intentional about that. And particularly with cultural differences, we we gravitate towards the familiar, and we also gravitate towards the kind of the charismatic in terms of people with that kind of personality, the go-getters. But actually seeking God and praying to God that he'll open our eyes and that maybe we'll see people that we wouldn't normally be mindful of as we're thinking of future leaders or people that we want to grow and develop. That is really, I think that's something that's really, really important and really key to this. Yeah. I'm consistently surprised by how God calls people, different sorts of people, to, yeah, I guess, lead his church, to be people of influence. And we see that in the Bible. You know, God consistently calls people who, yeah, the world didn't think much of. You know, David was like the forgotten son, and look, he's the great king of Israel, who's a man after God's own heart. So yeah, that's what I would say. My four P's.
Yeah. Wow, fantastic. So prayer, let's go prayer, people. Yeah.
People, products, well, products, which is like resources, and then power.
And power. That is fantastic. I wonder if I could just sort of, probably as a part of power, I would sort of mention platform. I think it's very much related. But I had a very interesting conversation with a lady who I know, church leader, who's Sri Lankan. And she said it was only recently that she went to a conference where she saw someone up front who was like her. And she said it was a very strange feeling that she knows that shouldn't make a difference to her. She knows that actually the leadership, you know, she trusts them. She loves being part of that church network. But there was something happened inside her when she saw somebody who was actually publicly a public face, if you like. Mm-hmm. And again, something that for me, I'm just used to seeing white guys standing at the front. It's just normal. Mm-hmm. And I've heard this story as well from some of our CMF students. One student telling me how, you know, she's been in a church and just never seen anybody up front like her. And when she did see somebody, it was at CMF conference, actually, it just did something in her. And so I think, you know, in our church back in Luton that we were part of for a few years, there was a very intentional emphasis on bringing diversity of people to the front, hearing from a diverse range of people. That goes well beyond ethnicity as well. But I remember when there was a crisis in Zimbabwe, we had some of our Zimbabweans, and suddenly you realize, wow, there's 25 people in our church from Zimbabwe. I just didn't know. And hearing them pray for members of their families was profoundly moving. And that's happened on a number of times with, you know, just thinking about world news and how we're praying for people who may be affected because they've got extended family members and connections that I just would never have. And that's just brought so much richness to the church and just recognizing it. In a sense, on a platform sense, not in a negative way, just pushing people to the front in that sense. But yeah, that's really great. Wow.
Right, Rachel, I don't know if you talked about commentaries and stuff. That'd be the kind of thing really helpful to put in, like, the links to this podcast. Because I remember reading a few years ago, there was an African one that was being promoted or being kind of, and I think, again, as you say, you know, I remember chatting to a friend of mine who works for a Christian, I think he works for Christian Aid, and he was doing a lot of kind of cross-cultural stuff. And they were looking at the parable of the, or one of the parables, and he was just sort of saying it's interesting how different cultures had such a different perspective on that parable, and how actually, again, to about the richness of God in terms of seeing things. And yeah, just how powerful that is, just to see things from a different perspective. And I think, yeah, so if you've got some, or if you could get hold of some links, that would be great. I'm sure there's a few people that would be interested in doing some of that kind of reading.
Any other sort of where would you point us, Rachel, if we're thinking of, you know, learning and understanding more about it, whether it's, you know, prominent figures or books or, you know, other podcasts and like that?
Oh, there's so many things. How long have you got? I think it depends on what you want to focus on and what sort of issues you want to learn more about. Okay. And then there's obviously the classic UK, American, rest of the world divide on these issues, and you'll get a slightly different take if you listen to American people. Mm. So I guess UK resources, people want to understand experiences, because actually it can be really hard to kind of go to somebody and say, so yeah, what's your experience as like a black person or an Asian person being in this church? You may not want to start with that. But there's lots of people in the UK now who've written about their experiences. Actually, I have some books here with me. Let me get my book. So the first person is Ben Lindsay. He wrote a book a couple of years ago called We Need to Talk About Race.
Yeah, he's a Londoner as well.
And he's
sorry, you're from Kent. I keep forgetting, Rachel, you're from Kent, just.
Yes. Yeah, I'm from Kent, yeah. Proudly from Kent, but I spent a lot of time in London. So he's a black guy. He's a pastor of a white majority church for a while. And yeah, he's written a book. It's kind of like part memoir, well, mostly memoir, his experiences and a little bit of kind of thoughts, biblical thoughts. And what's helpful is each chapter has questions after it. So if you want to learn about people's different experiences and perspectives, this is a really good book. There's another, I don't have her book, there's another lady called Chennai McDonald, who I think she works for a Tear Fund, and she's she wrote a book called God Is Not a White Man and Other Myths. And again, just to get, like, to see her experiences as well, is that's really helpful. People that are American, there's so many Americans that have written stuff. I've got a few books actually here. This is one I probably recommend. This is more about kind of the global identity of the church. So Vince Bantu, oh, it's a bit bright. Vince Bantu wrote this book called Towards a Multitude of People. He's an early African Christianity scholar. He's pretty amazing. Yeah, so he writes a lot about that. And what's helpful about this book is it explores also like the missiological implications of us having like a global church. So that's another good book to get hold of. Mm. That's probably the three big... Actually, no, let me do this book as well because I really realised, but I like this guy as well. This is Esau Macaulay, who some of you might be familiar with. He is an American Anglican priest, but he teaches at... I think he teaches at Fuller. Yeah, he teaches at Fuller. And he wrote this book, Reading While Black. And it's kind of looking at how, I guess, black identity informs the way that you guess read and look at scripture and like the black experience. It's obviously it's very American, but again, it's like a really helpful book to kind of get that perspective. If you want to look into how culture can shape the way that we can see and view and the Bible and do church and how to do that in a way that I guess honors God and is faithful to the text. Yeah. So those would be the books I'd recommend. But there's loads of people that are doing podcasts, lots of people that talk about race. There was a series on a podcast called Truth Table, and they did a series on the multi-ethnic church. It's a four-parter. I really enjoyed listening to that. It might be hard for some people to listen to. People may not necessarily agree with everything, but I think it was very eye-opening, and I enjoyed that series. I guess we'll link all of these into the show notes.
Absolutely. Just to mention, there's a great, I mean, they're great recommendations. There's a team of people, and I've been involved with them from SIM, Serving in Mission, led by Steve Smith, and looking at mapping intercultural mission in the UK. So this has been a big project. We've been going for about 4 years now, because a lot of church leaders are saying, we just don't know how to actually reach out interculturally, you know, to cross barriers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we think about, you know, cross-cultural mission overseas, but actually how our church has been intentional. So there's some research going on. I'll put something in the show notes about that and some other details, but there's some exciting things. There's a real sense in the UK, I think, of some things happening, which we can be really encouraged by. So also Global Connections has got a CEO who's called Harvey Kriani, and he's done some brilliant stuff looking at this kind of these sort of things as well, which can be helpful for churches. So that's great. And Rachel, I think we need to probably wrap up there, but what would you sort of leave us with in terms of, you know, how we sort of might take things forward? What's a big takeaway for you that we should go away with?
I think the biggest takeaway is this is an important issue. If we believe that God exists, that he created this world, that he loves us, that he sent his son to die for us, and Jesus is coming back to rule and to reign over his people, and wants us to be with him in that. And if that's everybody, then we should be concerned about everybody from every ethnicity and background. And that should be what drives us to want to know more about this, to do better as a church, because we want to see Jesus and his church glorified. And that is done through seeing people from every tribe, nation and tongue. So yeah, it's not an easy topic, but something we need to be talking about and talking about and talking about and being intentional about. And yeah, just to do better and yeah, for his glory.
Yeah. Brilliant. Rachel, thanks so much for joining us.
Love speaking.
We have to do it again sometime. That was great. Get you back. Yeah, really good. And God bless you and all that you're doing.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Brilliant. Well, great. There's another episode done. We look forward to seeing you next time. Do hit subscribe if you'd like to follow us and share with others who might be interested in what we're doing. This has been Leading at a Local Level from MLG, looking at our recent series on diversity in the church. Bye for now.